Well, let's get just it's the news according to me. I am tripping over my tongue this morning. I don't know what to say. That's so much I want to say in so little time. I wish my show could just go on all day long. I wish I could just talk all day long. I probably could actually do that. I wonder if I could. I should try it sometime. I should try a 24-hour talkathon of the news according to me. I wonder how that would go. I bet I would get 5 or 6 listeners that would make it. Yeah, it'd probably be, that'd be a disaster. I probably would never want to talk again. I can't say that. That wouldn't happen. I might have to take a 5-minute break and then do it again. The aimless rambling. I might get, when I start getting tired and sleepy, you never know what might come out of my mouth, which is exactly the same as when I'm awake and alert. So it doesn't, you never know. I don't think there'd be any, you probably wouldn't be able to tell when I'm tired. I'd just ramble on anyway. Good morning, folks. It is Thursday morning, 8:13 a.m., a little bit earlier than sometimes. Not as early as it could be, or could have been. I could have been a little bit more snappy getting down here. Tomorrow morning, things have changed for me for tomorrow morning. I've actually got an opened up schedule, you might want to say. So I'm going to try to be live at 8 o'clock. Now, it will be recorded and it will be posted. So for those of you who can't make the 8 o'clock show, or you want to listen to it at your own convenience, you're more than welcome to do that. It will be probably sometime in the morning hour, around 8 o'clock. I would say between 8 and 8:30, depending on how technical things go. I would really like to do it from the main broadcast facilities over there at the headquarters. However, it's hard for me to get out of here at that hour on Fridays, and particularly this Friday. However, I have on Monday, I was hoping that our new internet server system router / service was going to show up on tomorrow or today. Actually, I was hoping it would show up today. Apparently, it will not show up until Monday. And of course, I will be in Dallas on Monday. I get home Tuesday night. So Wednesday, I will hopefully have all this stuff hooked up and ready to go. And we will have an even better live. Now, because the only reason that I really don't like doing live video with my audio is because I typically have internet speed issues. And it's not dependable enough. With this new system, apparently, I will be able to do that, and I'll be able to have more live shows because of that, because it'll just be so much easier to get it all accomplished. I don't have to, there's some workarounds I have to do in order to get things working, because I have to watch the speeds and the bandwidth that I use, just because it's, I have to be really careful with that. So in this case, it will be almost, well, it'll be about 7.5 times better to be exact. And that's huge. You know, 750% increase is quite significant. So, in theory, this is all supposed to work right. We'll see if it does. From the home and from the, as well as from the headquarters office, they'll both be expanded quite significantly. We'll see how well it works, but we'll have to find out. In the meantime, I have a few things on the agenda this morning. One is I have the cup here to drink, and it's what's in my cup is half gone. It's a little more than half gone now. It's my chai, my vanilla chai with my vanilla creamer. And of course, I have my backup cup of sweet tea here this morning. So nothing fantastic, but last night I was up in St. Joe, Michigan, and I went to a restaurant called Shoes. I think it's spelled S-H-U, if I understand it right. It's a little place there. It's close to the lake. It's just up the hill from the pizza place there, Silver Lake Pizza or whatever it's called. And it is both places are excellent. The pizza place is awesome. And this shoes place is pretty cool. I had their fish and chips there last night. But the amazing thing was this lady named Tina. She was our waitress, our server. And she, they don't have sweet tea there, but she made me sweet tea. Now, she didn't just put sugar in their regular brewed tea. She made a pitcher of it, and she brought it out to me. She's my new favorite server now. Yeah, that was awesome. That wasn't a huge pitcher, but it was a pitcher of sweet tea on my table. I drank every bit of it. I had my meal completely eaten. I could just fill up my tea cup whenever I wanted to. There was plenty of ice, and I didn't care how much ice was in the cup because guess what? I could just fill it up myself whenever I wanted to. And I did. I just kept filling it up. I would take a sip and fill it up again just because I wanted a full cup the whole time. The whole time my cup was full. And when I got done, there was still some left in the pitcher. And she said, "Do you want it to go cup?" And I said, "Absolutely, I do. Yes, thank you very much because I'm giving you a huge tip now." And then... Well, she forgot the to-go cup, but so I just drank the rest of it. I just slammed it down. It was very good. She actually made me sweet tea. Like the tea itself was in the pitcher was actually warm. It had just been brewed and she put the sugar in it, which is the way it's supposed to be done. So, needless to say, that's that place. I'm putting a plug in for them. I'm sure they're going to be swamped with customers now because everybody's going to go there. So that's what's in my cup this morning. That's not the tea that's in my cup. I have Milo's tea in my cup right now. Sweet tea. A few things on the agenda. Merrick Garland, I was going to try to watch some of this. However, it's one of those things that doesn't really excite me, seeing the Attorney General get asked questions, bounced around like a ping pong ball for between the left and the right. And Raskin, is there Jamie Raskin, is that his name? He feels like he has a carte blanche card now to say and do whatever he wants because he has cancer. And he wears this thing on his head. I'm not sure what this is all about. It used to be, if your head was, if you didn't have any hair on your head, people just assumed you had an issue. You were going through cancer, some kind of chemo. Then it became kind of popular. Now it has always been popular for some people. They just like having their head shaved. It's which is fine. I've considered it because I have very little hair on the top of my head, and it's sometimes it's just easier just to not have any at all. However, I'm holding on to the last bastion of, what wants to stay on my head there. I'm just going to let it live out its course, no matter how ridiculous it looks. I'm not into the comb-over thing. I'm not going to do that. I could, depending on how you look at me in a certain angle, a certain light, it looks like I have hair on the top of my head. But that's about it. Normally, I wear a hat. I'm not wearing one this morning, by the way, just so you know. Now, having said all that, but the problem is now it's kind of in fad, even for women to go topless, if you will, without the hair on the top of the head. There's certain kinds of diseases or certain kind of medical conditions people get that they can't grow their hair. And this is where the whole Will Smith thing came from, and all the, we're familiar with that. And there's a particular congresswoman that I know of who apparently has no hair on her head. I don't know what the purpose. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. It's not that I don't care about what's going on with her. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant in my opinion to what's happening here on the Congress floor. What your job is, it's irrelevant. Now, if I knew you personally, I'd let you know that, feel for what you're going through with that. But I I don't, it doesn't matter. What matters to me is what the words that you say on the Congress floor are and how you vote. Same thing with Raskin. He's not going to get any kind of favoritism or kid gloves because he's got some kind of medical issue, which should be the same thing with Fetterman. If you can't do the job, you're not doing the job. You're not doing the job, period. It's yes or, yeah, you know, too bad. I'm sorry you got problems. And that's, you know, something you need to work out. But in the meantime, the job needs to get done. I know it sounds cold and callous, but the job needs to, I think that anybody in their, if they really care about the country, they will step down and say, you know, I can't complete the job here. Somebody else needs to step into this because I can't do it. I'm physically unable. But that's not what we're getting from some of these people. Now with Raskin, he's obviously functioning fine. He can read, he can do all, you know, he can actually function, whereas Fetterman can't. He's a placeholder right now. It's got to keep him in there until they don't have to have a runoff election or to have a re-election or whatever. Special election to replace him, according to their state rules. I guarantee you, as soon as that time runs out, the day after that statute runs out, they'll replace him with somebody. Probably his wife. She loves the attention. But Mr. Garland... Attorney General Garland was being grilled yesterday, and there's just way too much for me to put on the show this morning. A couple of little things. There's that whole thing. There's also the issue of the COVID thing, COVID origins, which is really heating up big time right now. And the response from the left has become, especially from those who were initially the loudest ones, beating down anybody who even mentioned that this could potentially be a lab leak in China. Sky News Australia did an excellent piece, by the way. I would say it's worth your listen if you have time to go to it and listen to it. See if I can find it here. What is this? Sky News Australia. COVID origin. Let's see here what we got here. Yeah, I don't see it there. Yeah, it's not even on here. Let's go to the let's go to the Sky News Australia place here. We'll go to their videos that they put out recently. See if it's even in here. I don't even see it. Videos recently uploaded. Where is it at? I don't see it. Now they got a couple little reports about it, and they don't have anything. Boy, they put out so much material. It's probably buried under something else that they've done. But these were just 3 hours ago. I think this was yesterday. Wait till it refreshes and probably figure it out. Some of the things that have been said have been unbelievable, unbelievable, ridiculous. It's they're talking about revisionist history. Oh, people are trying to change the way the president can't. You know, first what the president first was trying to hide this. I'm going to play all this audio tomorrow. I'm compiling some of these things tomorrow. So one guy came out and said the president initially was trying to hide this and telling us that it wasn't a problem, and because he was trying to work out this trade deal with China, and he didn't want to have any kind of problems. Now they're trying to change the story. Um, He was the first one that came out and said this is probably a lab leak from China, and they piled on him for being a xenophobe, and anybody else who went along with it was some kind of nut. That's all we heard from the media. And now they're making it sound like, oh, he didn't want to talk about it initially. No, you didn't want to listen to him initially. Fauci was the one who came out and said, no, this is nothing to be concerned about right now. It's nothing to be worried about. It's not going to be an issue. Now, I have a theory about this whole thing. Knowing how this stuff works and how the mind of the leftists work. Because again, the end justifies the means with them. And I'm telling you, they wouldn't care if they knew 7 million people died. If they had a plan, well, we're going to lose 5 million people doing this, but we're going to get control of the population. It's worth it to them. That's how important being at the top of the piggy pile, being in charge and being in control, having their power and their money control, that's how important it is to them. They don't care. Now, the useful idiots probably say, oh, no, we care about people. Yeah, how much do you care about? How much do you give? How much do you give to the homeless shelter in your neighborhood, in your town? Ask any one of them. Well, it's the government. Government should be taking care of these people. The whole point of this government, the way it was established, was that we had the freedom, we had the wealth and the freedom that we could keep the fruits of our labor, and then we could be the ones who give voluntarily, directly to those individuals who need it. And that's the way our nation is. In fact, our nation still has that spirit. It is not touted from the rooftops, but the individuals from this country, individuals, not government agencies, not organizations even, individuals giving to other individuals in this country is about 8 times higher than almost any other country on the planet. It is one of the most giving nations. They don't want you to know that. The French, in all of their intelligence, had the audacity to turn around and say, we give more than the U.S. does. No, you do, per capita. They say, per capita, we give more than the U.S. does. No, absolutely you do not. Your government does. Or they did. This was several years ago. And you've got these politicians who smugly just waltz off to Ukraine and give your money to another country. In the meantime, they pass an infrastructure bill here. To the tune, well, it actually went over $1 trillion, but with all the overruns, it was over $1 trillion, $1.2 trillion. And about 20% of that was infrastructure. Questionably, infrastructure. Really, only about 8%. When the CBO looked at it, it's like only 8% of this goes to actual infrastructure. Where's the rest of it going? Well, it's going to political campaigns and political NGOs, non-government organizations who are closely tied to and who donate to, guess who? Certain political parties. So in the process of doing that, that's why they want to get this. All this, when the money's just flowing and it's flush out there, it falls into the hands of people who can funnel it back to their campaigns and their bag men. Now, Joe Biden, you can look at his taxes. He can show you his tax returns. Show you what he's got, because he's politically for the last 50 years, he has kept himself set up for political scrutiny in that regard. What you need to do is not audit Joe Biden. need to audit the people around Joe Biden. What about their tax returns? What about his brother and his son? His wife? What about Nancy Pelosi's husband? Those are the people we need to look into, because those are the bag men. When he's charging $50,000 a month to rent his house to his son. Hello? And by the way, whatever happened to the whole classified documents that found in my garage thing? Whatever happened to that? You see how they stonewalled it and kept saying, well, we don't want to get their two favorite sayings when they get asked questions. Well, we don't want to get out ahead of the investigation. The investigation's going on right now. Well, it's an ongoing, and people who are doing the investigation, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't answer any questions on that right now. Those two things are constantly happening. Those are the two standard, and there's little sub responses to all those as well. But those are the two main responses. We don't want to get out ahead of this. We don't want to get out ahead of this. Because there's an investigation going on, so we're going to let them do their job over there. No, but you're the one who has the answer to that question. You're the one that the investigators are asking the questions of, so that's why we're asking the questions that you have the answer to, so you could answer the question, but you're not going to answer the question. Now, I got to say, listening to Merrick, this thing with Merrick Garland yesterday, Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, and Hawley just unbelievably, these guys have been just excoriating people, really making it clear. And of course, then the next person on there is Maisie or whatever her name is from Hawaii comes on. Well, badgering the witness, they're badgering the witness. This guy's responsible for stuff that's going on in this country. They're calling him out on it, and that's considered to be badgering the witness. This guy's guilty of all kinds of things. To listen to him talk, and we're going to point out some things about the way he talks. And I've talked about this before. It's not about his voice. It's not about the voice quality and his little, like he's choking on something all the time. It's not about that. It's about the way he talks. They will ask him a yes or no question, and he starts going down this prepared statement. They stop him and they say, no, I need a yes or a no on this. Did you do this? Did you say this? He starts going down this prepared statement. Now, when he's not speaking a prepared statement, he says the words and ah more than any of the words that are actually mean anything in his response. And I'll point this out tomorrow, because it is unbelievable how many times he stumbles around with the there's literally almost two times as many of those as there are actual words in this response. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about his voice quality. That's annoying and grating enough on me. I can't stand to listen to him talk. But I will go through it just for you, because you need to know what he's saying. But because it's the words he's saying. It's the way he's responding. And some of the things that they've called him out on doing. I'm telling you, it's pure evil. And I don't think it comes from a heart of somebody who gets up in the morning and wants to be evil. I think it comes from somebody who gets up in the morning and has a vendetta, has no self-introspection whatsoever, doesn't even understand the motive of his whole world is just to get back at the people who didn't let him become a Supreme Court judge. And thank God he is not on the Supreme Court. We have enough of him on there already. But he would have been probably the absolute worst. Speaking of the Supreme Court, we just had a special hearing, I think it was, or a special ruling. It's one guy who was denied a carry permit by a particular city. It was this deal where you had to get a new permit every 2 years. And they denied him. All of a sudden, they just denied him out of the blue. No reason. And he took it to the court system, and he ended up taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. Speaking of the Supreme Court, there was a lady on there the other day talking about, I'll hopefully get a chance to weigh in on this, the student loan debt thing. It's they won they're basically the guy won this suit. What it amounts to is it's whether or not the people have the right to bear arms, and it's a really important case. It really it nails home this whole idea that a state or a municipality, anybody, when I say the word state, of course, this is part of the definition. I think Roman Balmakov probably has the best explanation of this. Facts matter. He goes over, and it's not a very long, let's see if I can still have it here. It might still be in my feed here. Let's see what it was called. It was a very good, there it is. If you want to look it up, it's Facts Matter with Roman Balmakov, and it's U.S. Supreme Court upholds Second Amendment. Gun ownership is a right of Americans. And it was yesterday's show. So if you go to Facts Matter, look for that on YouTube. You'll find it. And it's only, I think the thing is only, I'm going to pull it up just so I can see it. I'm not going to play it. But it's only 10 minutes long. And that includes the commercial. So really, most of his stuff is everything he talks about is it's within 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes. He explains the whole thing about how the Supreme Court broke it down, the whole Second Amendment, and why it pertains to individuals and not to a militia. Now, David Hogg has come out yelling and screaming about how you're not a militia. You have no right to have a gun. It's only for the militia. And they consider the militia to be a government entity, like the National Guard. The founders were fully aware. That goes absolutely opposite of what the founders intended. They intended for every able-bodied citizen to be able to take up arms. And we're talking military arms, military-style arms. The musket was the AR-15 of its day. Actually, it was better than an AR-15, if you don't look at it that way. It was an MP5. So think of it this way. I mean, we're talking a fully automatic weapon of war today would be the same of what they had as a musket back then. Because if you didn't have the musket, you had a sword. That's all you had. Or you had a handgun, possibly a single shot handgun back in those days, which was like a musket, but it was like just a one shot deal. It wasn't very accurate. Didn't have much range. Very few people had a sidearm. Most of them just had a rifle. And once they were overrun, they were, guess what? Now we're using swords and hatchets. It gets very barbaric at that point. So he goes over the whole thing of how it's an individual right, not a right of the state to offer you. See, this is where I have this real problem. The whole constitutional carry thing needs to be across the board, all 50 states, because it is constitutional to carry. Period. No infringement. A lot of these states say, no, we're going to take away that right. You're going to take that right away from you, and then we're going to sell it back to you into the form of a permit. Well, then some actually in Indiana, I think for a while they were charging for the permit, and they were like, well, we can't charge for this, because we can't sell back their right. We just have to have a register. You just have to register that you're going to carry. Which also that's an infringement. We're not infringing on your right. Yes, you are, because I have to go take time out of my life to go down and do that. That's an infringement. It's a detour in my life. You're getting in my way of being able to carry a gun. And this is where it gets kind of crazy. For a while, they were saying if you have a concealed carry permit, you can't carry open. Can't open carry. Well, that's bull crap too. I can carry any way I want to. That's an infringement. Well, you can't have a certain kind of weapon. That's an infringement. Okay, we're gonna tax your bullets. Okay, I'm gonna reload. Oh yeah, forgot you could do that. I'm gonna tax your gunpowder. Whatever. I'm gonna make my own gunpowder then. So, it's just this idea. And by the way, it has been proven now. They've been finding records now of government agencies that have nothing to do with any kind of sidearms. That are not agencies that even have firearms are buying up ammo. Wonder why there's a shortage. And bullet manufacturers are just making stuff as fast as they can. And there's nothing on the shelves, hardly at all. And the prices go up. Well, this is why. It's government agencies, and they're just warehousing it. They're destroying a lot of it. So, just those are the kind of weird things. Just weird stuff. Now, I was going someplace with some of that. But Merrick Garland was being interviewed, and he was being grilled by individuals in Congress. And of course, some people were trying to stand up for him and pretend like, oh, you poor little guy. Oh, they're beating up on you. Well, the things that they were calling him out on deserved to be beat up on. And I'll be playing some of those things. I'm going to have to weed through a lot of stuff because there's just a lot of it's just boring, procedural stuff. But there's some really good stuff there. The report from COVID, the COVID origins thing that Sky News Australia did, by the way, getting back to that, was extremely good. That's about 20 minutes long, but they go over almost all the reports initially of how the media treated people who were talking about the lab leak theory. And now it's coming out that the lab leak theory is probably true. It's probably true. Yeah. And the FBI's Christopher Wray now is admitting to it as well. As if they've always, they've never had a problem with it. These people are incredulous. There's several things on the docket right now that are very, very, very interesting and very critical. And I think we're just getting started. I think that the pressure that's being put on by people like Holly and Cotton, Lee, Cruz, even Grassley, who've been around forever. They are really, really going after some things, calling out some of the nominations that the current administration has put out there as well, just really exposing some things that's going on. Holly was doing this one particular interview with an individual who wants to be an archivist, I think it is. And he lays into her. He's like, so these are things that you tweeted about. Her only answer was, that's my personal social media. He said, did you tweet this? It's my personal social media. It's a yes or no question. She wouldn't respond. And he was appalled. He said, I have never seen this in my life. I've never seen someone stonewall questions like this. It was interesting stuff. So the COVID origins thing story is really interesting. What's going on with Merrick Garland and the grilling of certain Congress people that are really getting a lot of moxie right now, in my opinion. The Second Amendment ruling with the Supreme Court. Now, getting back to, there's also this other thing with the Supreme Court. And I haven't heard what has happened with this, the student loan forgiveness thing. Now, the union of the teachers union head got up and was foaming at the mouth, yelling and screaming that, they helped small businesses and nobody took it to the Supreme Court. Then they did this and they did that. And nobody took it to the Supreme Court, but they're trying to help our students. And they, by forgiving their student loans and they're taking that to the Supreme Court by, all these, the business and the corporation, whoever it is that's doing it. She claims all these, the big corporations are going after them, trying to take away their, trying to keep their student loans. The banks don't care. It is an individual thing. It's an individual issue. right now. That's where that's just where this is coming from. So it's just amazes me how they're up there screaming about this. But let's look at this. Let's just dig down. Let's take a step back for a second and look at this in the big picture of things. How did they help businesses? They gave them loans. They gave the businesses loans. They did forgive their loans. Who gave them the loans? The loans were actually given by the United States government themselves, not by a bank. This, the whole premise that they base this on. Now, when an individual goes and gets a, these are people who got student loans prior to COVID. The government didn't step in and say, you now have to stop whatever. See, businesses can't just shut down one for a year and come back the next year. The schools, by the way, the schools themselves got funding for shutting down. They got PPP loans and all that kind of stuff. They got all this funding through the emergency bidding, through emergency act. So they weren't out anything. You don't hear them complaining about needing government funding. The students who took out the loans got deferment for a year or more. I think it was 2 years, actually. You can't just defer business. You can't say, well, we're going to hold off your customers and we're going to wait until, you know, this thing is over and then your customers are going to come back. That just doesn't work that way. Businesses are more of a living entity. They have to have income to keep the business going. And of course, if you're considered to be a non-essential business, now what are you going to do? The essential businesses all of a sudden were busier than busy. Of course, if you were a Walmart who just happened to sell food, you go, well, guess what? You can also sell clothes and other things. But if you're just a clothes shop, you can't sell anything. You're not essential. If you want those things, you have to go to Walmart or Amazon. So they were picking and choosing who was going to win and lose in this situation. Student loan forgiveness. They got their deferment, an interest-free deferment. Forgiving the whole loan is bogus. It's baloney. That's why it's being challenged, because we're talking about the people's money here. They chose. See, most of these students, and this is, by the way, these are people who took out loans prior to COVID. They just want them forgiven. See, the whole point of borrowing money is that you have this intention to pay it back. That's usually the case when you borrow money. Hey, can I borrow something? You know, usually the implication there is that you mean to pay it back. Can I borrow your tools? Do I get them back? I've always been told that when a government agency approaches you and says, we want to see your driver's license or your pilot certificate, whatever it is, or your journeyman's license, whatever it is that they want to see, before you hand it to them, you say, are you going to give it back to me? Or I will show it to you, but it's not going to leave my hand. I'm not giving you this. I'm not surrendering it. They can take away the privileges of that certificate, but they cannot take the certificate without due process. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to you. They can't just take it unless you surrender it. And by giving it to them, you are surrendering it. They could argue that. In some cases, you'd have to fight them in court over, did you really surrender it, or did they want to see it and you were going to show it to them, kind of thing. So all this stuff is happening. I'm going to turn a corner with it. Right now, there is some you know, this has been going on for at least 10 years. At least people have been calling it out for 10 years. This whole Scott Adams thing, I want to talk about this a little bit. Now, I don't agree with everything he said, but I understand his sentiment. I'll just put it that way. I understand where he's coming from. Now, recently, Mark Dice just had a thing. This morning, I think it was his show. He had a thing on that. I think it was Megyn Kelly, who he was kind of showing on this thing. And I'll try to play this tomorrow. The little excerpt she had where she's talking to Dr. Drew, which you can just tell he's really uncomfortable with the subject. It is a very difficult subject. There have been white men who've tried to breach the subject, and I'm surprised I haven't been canceled for some of the things I've said. Because it is very difficult. I mean, when you start talking about things like the bell curve, and you start talking about things like just very, very interesting things that are, and you're trying to have an actual coherent, debatable conversation about it, which we should be able to do in this country. Right now, if I were to talk about the N-word, why do I have to say the N-word? Why can't I just use the word? If I use that word in respect to a subject matter, piece of subject matter, I'm not calling anyone that name. I can't say the name. I can't say that word without being called a racist, a bigot, whatever, white supremacist. Just by using the word. But there are individuals who are exempt from that who can put that word in music and song and movies and whatever else they want to do, and they're okay with it. That's okay for them. Why is that? Because of the color of their skin. That's why. That is not the world that I think we should be living in. That is not the intent, I don't think, of having free speech. But that's where we are. Because there's an individual on MSNBC who comes out and absolutely admits he hates white people. Joy Reid has come out and derogatorily referred to white people occasionally. Oh, white people, whatever. If I said that about black people and used that kind of a tone and inference, the racist mentality of that would be very obvious and glaring. But she can't be a racist because she has no institutional power. You're telling me minorities have no institutional power. There are things written in the institutional paperwork now that give them power, give them special rights, not equal rights, special rights. That's institutional power right there, folks. Here's a little example of something. I was recently listening to, I'm into CNC stuff, computer numeric control. It's basically, you know, automated, mechanized, computer-controlled machinery. I like to build my own stuff. I took a router, built a little router. It's all CNC-controlled. It's all computer-controlled. Use G-code, Mach 3. And I built a plasma table cutter thing. Now, I've also purchased one in addition to that. But I built my own, and I built my own 3D printer. I converted a bench mill over to a CNC-controlled bench mill. I have a lathe that I'm in the—I converted over to CNC, and I'm in the process of changing that. I had stepper motors on it. Now I'm converting it over to being a servo-motor-controlled lathe. And I want to put a spindle speed controller in it as well, which will really amp up the jams on that thing. So I'm going to— That's a whole project in and of itself. The problem is I only have one lathe, and so I really need another lathe to make a lathe. I do have a small mini lathe, which makes some small parts for things I need to do while I'm making the parts for this other thing. I almost have to make the parts for the lathe before I can make the conversion. It's crazy stuff. So, but I'm into all that stuff. I got a laser cutter. I got, you know, some of those kinds of things. All of it, all of which is CNC controlled. I could literally be out in my shop, have all the, and this has happened to me. I have everything running all at the same time. And all I'm doing is running around changing out material or changing, you know, doing the next process in a cut or whatever. Changing tooling or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I had five machines operating at one time. One of the 3D printer can operate for about 10 hours sometimes just to make one part. So it's operating the whole time. It's doing its thing. I'm checking on it, making sure it's not, you know, I don't know, just have a ball of plastic string. The router typically is, I'm making sure nothing's catching on fire with that thing. Or I'm just changing out the wood parts or, you know, going to the next process, changing the bit, whatever I'm doing. The lathe typically has different processes. I have to do a lot of tool changes on that one. If you're facing off a part or you're drilling, you know, and milling and drilling or whatever you're doing, that thing, parting off. The mill can sometimes take quite a while to get some things done as well. So that doesn't have to be changed very often, but occasionally tooling has to be changed or something has to be done with that. The laser, however, typically will engrave and cut out something pretty quickly. So I'm typically just changing out stuff there, put it back in, go over, do something with one tool, come back to the laser, change out the part, you know, the material, come back to the other thing, and then go back to the next thing. The CNC plasma torch, I have never had that running very much. Now, the new one is going to be running all the time. But it's, again, it's another one of those things where I'm just checking on it, making sure it's not, you don't have any tip-ups or anything like that. I've got no, you know, making sure it's cutting properly. The torch has not failed or anything. It takes its time. Occasionally changing out material. But I was doing this one day. I was running around all day. I was running around all day, cutting out parts, doing all kinds of stuff. And I was building something particular. And I'm going to get back to this point again at some point, probably in about 2 years, where I'm trying to build up the whole automation shop to where the point is where I can just, this thing can be running like crazy. And I'm basically a one-man shop, but it's almost like I have five employees, five or six or seven even at this point. So it's kind of a fun project. It's a fun thing to do. I don't know why I got off on this. Where was I going with this? I'm pretty sure I was talking about racism. There's somewhere in here. Got off onto automation somehow. I'm sure you probably remember that most of you are probably sitting there going, when are you going to finish that story? I'm never going to finish it. So, oops, my cup. My cup just hit the microphone. It's dangerous here in this environment. So, the idea of white hatred, anti-white racism. This idea that you can't be racist because you have no institutional power. Okay. That's a weird definition of racism. It's a redefinition of racism, but you can still be is bigotry, same thing? Is hatred only, you know, you can't be hateful? When you have individuals who are saying they can't stand being around white people and they still have their show, they still have their platform, they're exalted for saying such things. Yeah, you speak truth to power. I think most Americans out here in normal land, where we're just trying to go through our lives and we're just trying to enjoy ourselves and trying to enjoy our families and just trying to raise, you know, people, keep people healthy and just trying to do our thing, just trying to get through life and help each other with it in the process. But if it wasn't for the media and the race baiters out there telling us how much we hate each other, how much division there is in the world, that our country is evil, it's founded on evil. This country was founded on racism. I think I played on a couple weeks ago, I played the clip of that Disney thing where they're going on and on about how this country was built on slavery, therefore slaves built this country. This is a kid's show. They're chanting this stuff. It amazes me. But this is coming straight from academia, folks. The colleges, these lofty institutions of learning, are ramming this down children's throats. They know that they have to get this stuff in before they're about the age of 25, 26 years old, because that's when their brain actually is developed. And they'll know better. Once in a while, they get those older people in class who raise their hand and go, "Hey, I disagree with what you're saying there. Oh, you're an old person. You're an old white man. Shut up. Sit down. You're the problem." We need more socialism. We need more collectivism. Yeah, the way we got prosperous was not through collectivism. Oh, shut up. John Stossel did a really interesting report a while back, about a month or two ago. He said, the rich get richer and the poor get richer. Look at the standards of the poor in this country compared to the poor in other countries. Poor people in this country, people living in the poverty level in this country, would be considered rich, very wealthy in some countries. Not in Western standards, but in standards of a large portion of the world. We're not talking just, okay, some little village in Sudan. We're talking like 30% of the world. People who are considered in the poverty level in our country would be considered rich. As in about 30% of the world. It's interesting, folks. It's just interesting that we have a society that has this mentality heaved upon them by these, I call them baiters. They're people who just bait this kind of thing. They instill it. They inscribe it, whatever you want to call it. They tout it all day long and try to convince people of how bad the nation is, this country is, how bad certain individuals are, people groups are. They vilify them, pit us against each other. It's all part of the design of this whole thing. Now, whether they realize they're doing this or not, I don't know. I think some of them don't. They're just useful idiots. But the real user, the one who's really using them, is not necessarily the George Soroses of the world. He is just a useful idiot as well, by the way. Now, I don't know why, for some reason, Bill Gates gets up here and starts talking about viruses and how this is happening in the medical world. Since when did Bill Gates become a medical expert? Is he a doctor? Excuse me. Is he a medical doctor? From what I understand, he's a computer science geek. Just the fact that he has a lot of money, he's a billionaire, gives him this platform to stand up there and tell us about virology and viruses and pandemics. And just the fact that he happens to now own Moderna somehow makes him an expert. I'm supposed to listen to him now. Anthony Fauci has again and again being called out, and it's becoming very evident, folks. This guy was knee-deep in the mess. And in fact, my theory, which I'm sure is just a theory, this is all just conjecture on my part. The one guy, the highest paid guy, in fact, in government bureaucracies, as far as bureaucrats go, highest paid bureaucrat in our government, happens to have ties to the Wuhan lab. The NIH was there. Funding was going there to study things like viruses. They redefined what gain of function is. Very well, I think, exposed by Rand Paul, who's asking Anthony Fauci questions Interesting answer that Fauci gave at one point. Rand Paul said, was there gain-of-function research going on in the Wuhan lab? No. And if there was, it was this. What? Did you murder this man? No. But if I did, I did this. What? That's not an answer. Was there gain-of-function research going on? No. But if there was... Excuse me? No. So you're emphatically saying there wasn't, but if there was, it was this. What? So you just redefined it.
This isn't the way we define it.
The definition was changed. Prior to this, it amazes me. So the one guy that's working inside the Trump administration that basically has the kind of authority to step in and tell the president we need to shut everything down. The one thing that Trump had over everything, and they knew because of the economy, because of the way the voting rules were at the time, they knew Trump was going to be a landslide victory for second term. Interestingly enough, a year before, this was what I call the pre-October surprise. A lot of things happen a year prior to an election because that's when things start, that they can really build up cases on them. All of a sudden, this virus pops up.
No, nothing. We shouldn't be concerned about it.
Well, if we are concerned about it, we probably could have shut it down early. I think he was concerned about it. This is my theory. Anthony Fauci knew this was going on. I think he knew there was going to be a lab leak. If he didn't know there was going to be a lab leak, somehow he got involved in, he was played as the lackey in the process. He was either involved or he was the lackey. One way or another, he was the connection. There was something going on there in Wuhan. Funny how all of China kept functioning during this whole thing, and they isolated Wuhan and the other little town next to it. And they allowed travel in and out of Wuhan the whole time. But they wouldn't allow anybody to travel to Wuhan from China. Meanwhile, it spreads like wildfire throughout the world. I'm not sure that they were even aware of just how bad it was going to be. Like the Chinese knew. It gets out there in the world. The economies shut down worldwide. What was the one thing Trump had? The economy. But they had to shut it down. And in the process, they could change the voting rules. Or they thought they could. They did. Whether they thought they could or not, they did. Now we're finding out that it was most of what they did was illegal. But that doesn't matter because the election's over. There's nothing in the voting rules or the laws about having any kind of recourse for finding things that were done incorrectly or illegally. Once it's certified, it's certified. It's certified. It's certified. This is why we have an electoral college. Because if they find out, hey, this was done illegally, and the actual winner was this guy, I'm gonna put the votes where it was actually legally intended. That was the point that was trying to be made on January 6th. And then you got the provocateurs involved, the FBI agents, the informants, supposedly informants, those of who were this whole thing, and you got police now. There's a whole lot coming out on this whole thing, and you know, now you notice. All these questions about classified documents, all the stuff that was stonewalled for so long. Well, you know, we want to get out of the investigation. Everybody's forgetting about it now. It's gone. It's been totally forgotten. If we just hold it off long enough, wait for the news cycle and the next thing pops up, they'll forget about this one. How many things have gone down the memory hole in the last year? Hunter Biden laptop, classified documents. How many other things? I can't remember. Too many things. All this stuff has happened. And it gets shoved under the rug. It gets stonewalled and ignored for long enough, and people forget about it. And then they try to spruce things up, try to shine things up for the next election, and then they go into that, and then there you go. because the memory of our country, of our nation, people. But you know what? I think that's starting to change. And thank goodness for some of the video that's out there. Then you get into the problem of big tech censoring those things or changing them or scrubbing the internet. Some of the scary parts of our society and our technology. So tomorrow morning, there will be a show, folks. There will be a live show if everything goes well. Again, I hope it's from the headquarters. We'll see how it goes. It may end up being from the home office. Most likely going to be from the home office. However, kind of depends on what my wife's doing. Because if she is here doing her little supposedly work from home, where she has her little meetings online, a lot of those are video meetings, and I don't want to screw up her bandwidth on the video calls. So I may have to go to my office to do, which means it will probably be closer to 9 o'clock if that happens. Maybe earlier. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'll have to just see how it goes. Folks, once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for being a part of those who are concerned. Concerned enough to pay attention. It's really all you need to do. Just be educated. So that when people ask you, you have an answer for them. Pray for each other. Pray for our nation and our leaders. God bless everybody. Have a great week.